Blessings and happy Easter to you from Trinity Church in the city of Boston. My name is Paige Fisher, and I am delighted you have tuned in for our podcast this evening entitled Through the Door. It is our tradition at Trinity Church to gather at the close of Easter Day for a quiet evening worship service, where we each year reflect on the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. As we return once again to this story from the Gospel of Luke, we will also spend a little time pondering John Updike's poem, Seven Stanzas of Easter. We invite you to get outside for a walk while listening to readings, prayers, and music gathered for this occasion. We now move to our opening prayers from the Reverend Bill Rich, with Henry Vitiver following up with his latest composition, entitled Four. Henry is one of our talented choristers at Trinity, and he studies music at the New England Conservatory.
Open our eyes and soften our hearts, O God, through the work of your Holy Spirit, that in hearing your word, we may receive new life. Amen. Father, we pray for all lonely people, especially those who, coming home to an empty house, stand at the door hesitant and afraid to enter. May all who stand in any doorway with fear in their hearts, like the two on the Emmaus Road, ask the Living One in. Then, by His grace, may they find that in loneliness they are never alone, and that He peoples all empty rooms with His presence. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Henry, for that beautiful original piece. And now, Listo Fisher, one of our faithful Sunday morning readers, will read the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Following Listo will be our Trinity singers sharing Richard Webster's new tune, Eastertide. The music is set to hymn 209, We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight. With triple meter time, this tune evokes the walking feel of an 18th century saraband, which is a slowish, courtly dance. Enjoy!
A reading from the Gospel of Luke. Now on the same day, the first day of the week, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and feet, and see that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for ghosts does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "This is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." The word of the Lord.
Beautiful. As we walk on, the Reverend Patrick Ward will now read John Updike's poem, Seven Stanzas at Easter, along with the familiar favorite, Now the Green Blade Riseth, sung by our staff singers, Sophie Michaud, Janet Stone, and Fausto Miro, along with Adam Simon on guitar and Richard on flute.
Seven Stanzas at Easter by John Updike. Make no mistake, if he rose at all, it was as his body. If the cell's dissolution did not reverse, the molecules reknit, the amino acids rekindle, the church will fall. It was not as the flowers, each soft spring recurrent. It was not as his spirit in the mouths and fuddled eyes of the 11 apostles. It was as his flesh, ours, the same hinged thumbs and toes, the same valved heart that pierced, died, withered, paused, and then regathered out of enduring might, new strength to enclose. Let us not mock God with metaphor, analogy, sidestepping, transcendence, making of the event a parable, a sign painted in the faded credulity of earlier ages. Let us walk through the door. The stone is rolled back, not paper mache, not a stone in a story, but the vast rock of materiality that in the slow grinding of time will eclipse for each of us the wide light of day. and if we will have an angel at the tomb. Make it a real angel, weighty with Max Planck's quanta, vivid with hair, opaque in the dawn light, robed in real linen, spun on a definite loom. Let us not seek to make it less monstrous for our own convenience, our own sense of beauty, lest, awakened in one unthinkable hour, we are embarrassed by the miracle and crushed by remonstrance.
Make a confession. I really don't miss looking out from the pulpit to a packed church on an Easter Sunday. I don't miss seeing pews full of faces I don't know, dressed up and looking uncomfortable and bored. Some have even looked hostile, like they've been brought to church completely against their wills. Okay, in fairness, many faces are joyful and filled with that Easter Alleluia. And many of those faces are familiar with the beloved community. However, sometimes those disgruntled folks in the pews are the ones that catch the eye. It's in those moments when you can see just how challenging it is for our human brains to fully grasp resurrection. And if I'm honest, it can be a little daunting to preach to all those crossed arms. It really wasn't easier for the human mind in Jesus's time either. We see the women at the tomb confused and frightened. We see Thomas demanding to see Jesus's wounds and then wanting to touch them. We see disciples dashing for the tomb, needing to see for themselves the truth. And tonight on the road to Emmaus, Jesus, walking right next to the disciples, is still not recognized. This struggle for many to grasp resurrection, it isn't a lack of wanting to believe, and it isn't for lack of trying. It just goes against the very grain of everything we know in our earthly minds. But here's the thing. You and I both know it, even if we too struggle to understand it. The resurrection is our story. As one writer wrote, without the resurrection, Jesus is just a great role model, not part of the Holy Trinity, not triumphant, not divine. This is the dilemma one holds in the midst of doubting that Jesus truly came back to life. It brings us to the poem that Patrick just read to us, Seven Stanzas at Easter, by Pulitzer Prize-winning author and poet John Updike. Around the same time as his most famous novel, Rabbit Run, was released, Updike entered a little poetry contest in his Lutheran church in Marblehead, Massachusetts. There were 96 other entries, but the now retired rector of the parish says it was an easy call. Seven Stanzas at Easter was the clear winner. The poem is a favorite to this day as a reference in Easter sermons. Because let's be honest, who doesn't appreciate an iconic writer putting the perfect words to the dilemma of grasping the resurrection? John Updike was not just a brilliant wordsmith. He was a person who lived that dilemma in his own life. In most of his writings, there's always a tension between the revelation of good news of God and the restless uncertainty. British novelist Ian McEwan called Updike's religious seriousness his being constitutionally unable to make the leap of unfaith, hard as he might have tried. In the first and fourth stanzas of the poem, Updike lays it all on the line. Make no mistake, if he rose at all, it was as his body. If the cell's dissolution did not reverse, the molecules reknit, the amino acids rekindle, the church will fall. He's clear. And yet, he leaves that little word if dangling out there, reminding us uncertainty is never fully expunged. Our humanity makes it so. What is helpful in the words of the first stanza is that Jesus didn't just live on in our imaginations, in our memories. The doctrine he professed in his poetic words is that of flesh and blood. Without bodily resurrection, the church isn't the church. Resurrection is our story. He pushes this idea even further in the fourth stanza. Let us not mock God with metaphor, analogy, sidestepping transcendence, making of the event a parable, a sign painted in the faded credulity of earlier ages. Let us walk through the door. Let us not mock God with metaphor. But how easy it is to do. In an attempt to put some human rationalization on the working of the divine, it's common to sell God a little short on what God is capable of doing. No harm is intended. But sometimes all that flesh and blood and from death to life talk, it feels like a doorway that the intellectual mind rebuffs. Just like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, even when Jesus is in our midst, our eyes may not behold. Yet when the disciples call the stranger back to their table and invite him through the door, in the breaking of the bread, the resurrected, all flesh and blood body of Jesus was seen, and their eyes were open. May we find our own way through that door this Easter season. I want to close by praying the words from We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight, sung earlier with the Trinity Choir. Let us pray. Help then, O Lord, our unbelief, and may our faith abound to call on you when you are near and seek where you are found. That when our life of faith is done in realms of clearer light, we may behold you as you are with full and endless sight. Amen. We are delighted now to have St. Peter's Church from across the river in Cambridge singing the hymn For a Closer Walk with God. And following our choral gift from St. Peter's, the Reverend Karen Coleman will be praying our intercessions with us this evening.
Let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. With joy, we pray for all Christians, united this day at the empty tomb. Help us see you, O God, in those we do not expect to encounter, and remove all fear from our hearts. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With humility, we pray for this planet, our home. Heal what we have scarred and broken. Renew the face of Earth from north to south, from east to west, so that your creation may speak to us of your goodness. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With hope and love, we pray for the nations of the world, especially those places overwhelmed by war, conflict, poverty, and disease. By the light of the resurrection, destroy the shroud that is cast over all who live under the weight of oppression and inequality. Bless peacemakers who work to bring justice to their country, city, neighborhood, and household. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With compassion, wipe away the tears of all who weep. Give us the spiritual compassion we need to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and comfort those who are in any trouble. Send your angels to watch over the vulnerable and sick. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With hope, we remember those who saw our risen Lord and witnessed his resurrection, so that we might have faith. May their words and deeds inspire us to sing our Alleluia again and again. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Passing from darkness to light, from bondage to freedom, from death to life, we commend to you, gracious and ever-living God, all for whom we pray. Amen.
Thank you for taking a walk with us today, and hearty thanks to the many voices that came together to create this offering. All music is used with permission under the One License contract, and our opening and closing piece was brought to us by newest parishioner, Marian Brown. Marian adapted Alan MacDonald's bagpipe tune, Jewels of the Ocean, for her violin, fondly known to all of us as Edward. We wish you a joyful beginning of this Easter season, and we look forward to seeing you for our continued virtual gatherings throughout Eastertide. Now go in peace. Happy Easter.